Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents MacArthur's Air Force, American Air Power Over the Pacific and the Far East, 1941-51, by Bill Yenny. Narrated by Joe Barrett. Air Power and the Science and Art of War, by Douglas MacArthur. The first function of air power is to get command of the air. In modern warfare, air supremacy is the first absolute essential. The amount of enemy air opposition in this campaign was negligible. The essential targets were eliminated early, and the air units were then able to devote their major emphasis on ground support. In the beginning of a war, all the air forces should be under air command in order to rid the skies of hostile air, and when this is done, the ground forces are entitled to ground support that is required in these days of intense firepower. Modern infantry cannot advance without close air support. It must have more of it. Modern firepower which the enemy bring to bear with the burp guns is so heavy that even with artillery back of our lines hub to hub, there would not be sufficient power for the ground elements to advance, and this artillery power must be backed up with air power. It is not a question of the courage of the ground soldier. It is only a question of survival. Air support is the only effective answer. This necessitates the closest cooperation between air and ground command. In the first stage of the war, and until air supremacy has been attained, there must be the closest coordination between the air and the ground command. The ground commander must be in a position to call for air support as he needs it. The American soldier has been reared from boyhood with a standard of living of the very highest, and therefore that American soldier in the field of battle has every right to expect, and does expect, a higher standard of living than all other soldiers. Therefore, he has a right to expect firepower of both artillery and air force in battle. We differentiate between the science of war and the art of war. The principles are immutable. The art changes with each campaign, and there is no such thing as a normal war. World War I was not normal. World War II was not normal. We will probably not see positioned warfare again, particularly since men may be moved 1,000 miles overnight. They may be transported and supplied by air, thus the coordination of joint ground air is more than ever important. As Napoleon said, the tactics of warfare should be rewritten every 10 years. Considering the coordination of air and ground forces, we must be ever looking to the future, no matter how good it may have been in the present Korean campaign. General of the Army Douglas MacArthur, November 22, 1950. Introduction. What was MacArthur's Air Force? Douglas MacArthur is one of the towering figures of World War II, and indeed of the 20th century. In the pantheon of great American military leaders during World War II, he is at the apogee, along with Eisenhower, Nimitz, Marshall, and Patton. What is often overlooked among his superlatives is that the second-largest air force in the U.S. Army Air Forces, USAAF, was in his chain of command. MacArthur commanded the Southwest Pacific Area, SWPA, a theater of World War II until 1944, when he was made commander of all U.S. Army and USAAF forces in the Pacific. MacArthur's Air Force, as described herein, was initially an SWPA constituent called Allied Air Forces, created in April 1942. It contained USAAF 5th Air Force and elements of the Royal Australian Air Force, RAAF. In 1944, the USAAF Far East Air Forces, FEAF, was created under MacArthur's theater command. It contained the USAAF 5th Air Force, as well as the 7th Air Force and the 13th Air Force. In 1945, the Air Forces of FEAF contained 216,616 personnel, or 26% of all overseas deployed USAAF airmen, as well as just over 4,000 combat aircraft. During the post-war occupation of Japan, MacArthur held the title of Supreme Commander for the Allied Forces, SCAP, and within this chain of command was the post-war FEAF, comprising the 5th, 8th, 13th, and 20th Air Forces. Under MacArthur's command during the Korean War, the FEAF contained more than 90,000 personnel and 1,800 aircraft. Often overlooked, though still important historically, Arthat, as chief of staff of the U.S. Army between 1930 and 1935, MacArthur had the entire U.S. Army Air Corps within his chain of command, and as field marshal of the Philippine Army between 1936 and 1941, he had the small Philippine Army Air Corps in his table of organization. Within the large personnel counts, and perhaps the most important element of what comprised MacArthur's air forces, are the individuals whose heroism and command skills are the very texture of those air forces. At the tops of the chains of command were men whose names are household words wherever air power is discussed, men such as George Kenney, Annis Whitehead, Paul Wurtsmith, and Earl Partridge. There were others at the apogee of the command structure, from Ken Walker to Howard Ramey, who gave their lives in combat. There were characters so unique that they seem fictitious. Take, for example, Paul Irvin Pappy Gunn, whose skill as a flight-line engineering genius was so astounding that he amazed the people who had designed the aircraft in the first place, and who also filled a niche as a brilliant low-level attack pilot. There were bomber pilots from Ed Larner to Don Hall, whose exploits seemed like the impossible stuff of Hollywood fabrication. There were many great and heroic fighter aces, including Dick Bong and Tommy McGuire, who became the highest-scoring American aces of all time while in combat within MacArthur's chain of command. There were many, many more heroes, including all of those who took home Silver Stars and distinguished flying crosses, not to mention Medals of Honor. This is the story of the times and the unique circumstances within which all of this came to pass. Prologue. MacArthur and Air Power. Neither ground nor sea forces can operate safely unless the air over them is controlled by our own air power. Douglas MacArthur, 1925. Douglas MacArthur was born into the U.S. Army. His father, Captain Arthur MacArthur, Jr., of Milwaukee, had served with the 24th Wisconsin Voluntary Infantry Regiment during the Civil War and earned the Medal of Honor at Missionary Ridge. When Douglas, his third son, was born on January 26, 1880, Arthur was posted to Little Rock Barracks in Arkansas. 4 years later, Arthur was reassigned to Fort Selden in New Mexico, where he took part in the campaigns against Geronimo and the Chiricahua Apache. As a brevet brigadier general, he went on to serve as a brigade commander during the Spanish-American War. Being in the West when it was still the Wild West made an impression on young Douglas. As he claimed in his memoirs, "I learned to ride and shoot even before I could read or write. He did almost before I could walk or talk." A precocious child, Douglas worked hard and excelled in school. He also overcame a spinal condition to become a good athlete. After his father was assigned to Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio in 1893, he attended the West Texas Military Academy, now Texas Military Institute, where he was the head of his class academically and the quarterback for the football team. Though the MacArthurs, like military families then and now, were constantly on the move, they maintained their connection to Milwaukee. Douglas and his mother, Mary Pinckney Pinky MacArthur, often spent time there when Arthur was on assignment. This would hardly be worth mentioning but for an important connection to the roots of Douglas MacArthur's association with air power. Congressman John Lendrum Mitchell, also of Milwaukee, had served with Arthur MacArthur in the 24th Wisconsin, and the two were friends. John Mitchell had three children, a daughter and two sons, who were about Douglas's age. Douglas had a boyhood crush on Ruth Mitchell, who went on to be notable for, among other things, fighting alongside the Yugoslav partisans during World War II. The elder son, just a month older than Douglas, was William Lendrum Billy Mitchell, who became one of the U.S. Army's first generation of pilots and an air power visionary who was destined to be the central figure in American air power doctrine during World War I and into the following decade. Douglas's older brother, Arthur MacArthur III, entered the U.S. Naval Academy, but Douglas remained in the family business, enrolling in the U.S. Military Academy at West Point in 1899. As at the West Texas Military Academy, he had participated in sports and excelled in his studies. In his final year, he was first captain, the highest-ranking member of the Corps of Cadets, and he graduated at the head of the class of 1903. Those graduating with the highest academic standing were traditionally commissioned into the Corps of Engineers, the branch of the U.S. Army.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?